Hi Flo, how are you today?
Doing well, Sarge. Happy to be back in the studio.
That's right. It feels like a while, doesn't it? That's because we've been doing some fantastic things.
Haven't we just?
We have. We were absolutely treated to a trip to a couple of private gardens in the Monaro Cooma region of New South Wales just recently. And I think that's probably something that we'll come back to. But what are we talking about today before I launch into a great big long story about what we did?
Yes. Well, we're going to do the third in our principles series today, which is on the principal proportion. And this has been a particularly topical because of the gardens we saw and the lessons that came through getting a sense of where proportion is done well. And, you know, we can think through many examples where proportion's done poorly. So we wanted to use that opportunity to articulate that and to bring our listeners on the journey with us.
I think that's a great idea. And it did really strike me. So both the gardens that we saw were, you know, grand old houses from family properties that have been passed down for generations, and big properties, big working properties as well. And so the scale and proportion then that needed to be used in the garden, you know, there were avenues and there were sort of woodlands and, you know, all of the stuff that in a residential suburban garden you don't get. So it was really, and when you looked at the size of some of the elements within the garden and how different bits of the garden rooms were used, really important around proportion. So tell me why proportion is so important, Fleur.
Yeah, right. Well, proportion's all about spatial relationships and the relative scale of items or elements and spaces to each other.
For me, it's very much about how it makes you feel. If you manage to bring something into proportion to the human body often, then it is a really critical element because it can create that sort of sense of realism. Oh, that's a hard word. And familiarity that can help you connect with a design. So rather than feeling like you're in a vast plane where you're lost and insignificant and tiny, you actually feel like you're part of something. And that, for me, it absolutely sort of brought home how important proportion is.
So, let's talk about Shirley. Now, Shirley is not a friend of mine, but Shirley is the name of one of the properties. And much of the gardens were designed by Paul Bangay. And you can see, you know, he's known as a bit of a master in proportion and scale. And there's some really good demonstrations of how he's done that. So, it's a big parkland, a big country garden. And he's demonstrated how the relative size of garden rooms are scaled to each other and also to the house and the surrounding mature trees, because there were a lot of trees in that space when he came in, and he actually divided up the areas to create garden rooms that are really pleasing proportions, and they sit well with the size of the house on the block and also sit well with the size of a human moving through them.
That's right. And in fact, I would also say one of the things that proportion can be really useful in doing, it helps you organise space because you do have to sort of construct these rooms. But then it can also help guide you through that design because you are drawn into places where you intuitively feel that that feels more comfortable to be in than perhaps, you know, a great big wide open space, which is the field right over there. So it made me feel like that as well. And, you know, looking at the towering hedges and the sort of grand vistas, it was all captured, but it still made you feel like it was relative to human scale. It felt comfortable. It didn't feel like overwhelming or, you know, you were lost in that environment.
In fact, the courtyard really resonated with me, and that was, you know, it's a very big courtyard because the house is big, and so it feels like that's kind of scaled up quite high. However, it's a large paved space, and it's punctuated with these four pollarded plane trees and several very large pots. Now, the fact that those trees are pollarded, it gives a human proportion to the space. So rather than having these massive big trees, which they could be if they just left, it's actually brought them down to a space where you feel like you're enclosed. And the size of the pots are also, they proportionally fit very well in the size of that space.
Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing, that proportion, like you can get relatively, you can get something that feels proportionately right in a space. You can also use disproportion to draw the eye. So if you wanted to have people looking at something, you can make it bigger, for instance. And so it's also got that converse effect too. And with all of these things, there's no right and wrong. So if your design intent is to get people to look over there, you might want to put something that's slightly disproportionate because it draws their eye.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm Fleur, and I'm joined by my co-host and longtime friend, Sachi. We're second career landscape designers and bring our life experience and a fresh perspective to designing gardens.
And I'm Sachi, and you're listening to the On Garden Design podcast, where we chat about what makes a garden great and we try to inspire and make designing accessible to anyone interested in gardens.
So if so just sort of unpacking the kind of why and a bit of our intro into the principle of proportion, what are the triggers for identifying a well-proportioned garden? So when you mentioned earlier that you get this sense of you feel right.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are some of those triggers?
Well, just like unity and balance, they create a very well-proportioned garden, will feel very harmonious and it will be quite calm. Mm. And it was interesting, actually, the owner of Shirley said he felt that their garden was very calm. And that, I think, is absolutely put down to some of that proportionate element. What do you think, Fleur? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a sort of clarity and strength that's achieved through careful positioning of proportional shapes in a garden, and that's very well demonstrated at Shirley. And it's really quite obvious when it's done poorly. So when you don't have this sort of sense of good, strong proportions in how the space is arranged, or you have a piecemeal approach, which we often see in open gardens, then you get that sense that the proportions just don't work well. That was something I was going to ask you about. So if proportion is about relativity, does that mean as your space gets smaller, everything in it gets smaller too?
That's a really good question. I would say no.
Oh, good, 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 because that's where I'm leaning. Mm.
And again, I think it goes to your intent. So what's the focus of your design? What's the purpose of your design? Mm. And I think, you know, as we get into more of the how you do this stuff, but really simply, if you have a space that you want as a cozy reading nook, then you want things that are going to complement that cozy reading nook feeling, as opposed to perhaps, you know, lots of, I don't know, lots of bitsy little things around or one really overwhelming thing. You want to have things that will feel cozy. So you might want to have things that are more in proportion for the space that you're in. Yeah. If it's a really big space, then you probably want some really big things in
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there's, again, I don't know that, well, there are some sort of guiding principles you can potentially use for it, but I don't think there's hard and fast rules around proportion. Did you find any?
No, it's almost a bit intuitive.
It is.
And that's where I think maybe it's a good time to unpack the definitions behind yep. proportion and scale.
I think so too. I think yeah. so too. The other thing I did want to mention, though, because we're focusing so much on principles generally and we've got this design series, is I think it's important to remember that no single principle is more important than the others. And so, you know, you need to consider all of these things together, because if you get your unity and your balance out and your proportions good, it's still going to look out of whack. But anyway, let's go yeah. back to what. What is proportion?
What is proportion?
That's
well,
right.
Well, I think it might be easy to start with what is scale.
It refers to the relationship between two or more objects. One is a known size, so it's an absolute size. So it's a human body or it's a 20-cent coin. There's something that you know the size of in scale, yeah. which is why when you see those things that, you know, someone says, here, I'm buying a pot and they put a 20-cent piece next to it, or a ruler, you know, there's an absolute that you can understand how it works in terms of the scale.
And in landscape design, that's often the house.
Yes.
You know, if you've got a large country mansion or a two-story house, then,
or a tiny cottage.
then you've got to look at that's the known, that's the start point, and you've got to scale the garden to meet that. Yeah. Now, let's talk then about proportion. So to me, a proportion refers to the ratio or relationship between the sizes of the different elements.
Yes, I think that's right. And this is such a subtle definition yes. difference.
Yes.
Proportion and scale are used interchangeably. I think they get confused a lot. I don't think we want to be, you know, Nazis about how we're defining these things. Mm. But I think absolutely. So scale, you know the size of one thing. Proportion, it's just relative. The proportion of the things that you're looking at is relative to the other thing. You don't necessarily know the size of them. You just know them relative to each other. One is bigger than the other, but you don't know that it's 20 centimetres or 30 centimetres.
And there's a sort of technical definition between the two that are so nuanced that for the purpose of this episode and the sort of the general language in garden design, we felt it wasn't really that helpful. So we're going to just consider proportion and scale pretty much within the same vernacular.
Yeah, I think so. We'll just use them interchangeably, which is what you'll find. There's quite a bit of confusion out there how to describe them and actually how what does it mean. And for garden design, it doesn't really make a big amount of difference whether we call it scale or proportion.
So let's talk about how we apply the principle of proportion in garden design. So what would be your first tip?
I thought you were going to give me yours.
I just started one.
Yeah, how about you start?
Okay. Well, how about we start with creating spaces that sit well within the broader context?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I'm talking about here is, you know, go out into your garden, have a look around the broader context. So what is your sense of place? You know, are you a coastal garden that's overlooking the ocean? Are you in a residential suburb where the boundary line is all sitting at 2.4 metres above ground level and you're kind of boxed in? What's your borrowed landscape? What treescape are you seeing that's beyond your own boundary? And what's the style of architecture that your house and what's prevalent in the area? Is it a historic kind of suburb or is it a contemporary modern sort of area? So if we understand some of that broader context, then we can create spaces that are going to work well with that.
So how, if you want a cozy reading nook, how would you then proportion that in that garden? Because this, I think, is when garden rooms come into it and you're thinking about how you might do that, and you might need to actually think about a different proportion because you want your reading nook, you know, or your little sun trap or whatever it might be, to be a cozy little nook.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think what we tend to do is we create small spaces a bit closer to the house, and then we create these kind of long views that lead to some of that grand view. So in more intimate kind of, we want to create intimate spaces because they make us feel good. You know, we want to be in those. And closer to the house where you've got this sort of journey potentially to the sides of that grand view would be where you'd have a series of garden rooms, and they would be intimate and they would be divided with hedging, maybe, you know, use of trellising and things that just kind of visually obscure those rooms. So you've got a sense that you're in those rooms, enclosure when you're there. But when you come out, you've got this sense of grand vista and an invitation to look beyond your own garden space.
So this is where really where you go to, how do you want your garden to feel, sort of the mood? Do you want it to feel open and grand? You know, so then you're using larger proportions. Do you want it to feel cozy and secure? You know, then you might, or you might have a mix of both. You might have enough space that you can have a larger area in the sort of front-facing, you know, public areas and a smaller private area in the back or the vice versa, whatever it might be. So, and that's where rooms are a useful concept around the proportions piece as well. Because you won't usually have one uniform space.
Yes, definitely. And rooms create, it's an opportunity to sort of have an inviting journey through the garden. And you have different sensory feelings as you move into different spaces. And, you know, the classic one is using proportion in different shapes. So sort of fat, wide, square areas are often the trigger to pause and reflect, or their social spaces, or their larger kind of, it's a slow down space, whereas you go then into that, you know, I refer to the squeeze and release thing. So you go into the squeeze space, like often a transition, which might be an arbor or an avenue of trees or something like that. Then it's actually a movement space. So your speed of movement may be faster. And then you come out into an open area, which might be circular. And it has a different feeling because it means you're kind of forced to wander around something. And so it's about, I think, the building blocks of putting together a, I guess, manipulating sort of the masses and the voids to create a evocative or emotional effect as you move through the spaces.
I think you're right. And I think this is where, and I don't want to get caught up on scale and proportion, but then you need to be thinking about if you're creating, say, a larger open space, you do want to think then about the elements that go in that and what works with the proportions of that space too. Yeah. So there's the overall proportions of everything that might apply to how it fits in with your house. But then as you go into your rooms, you also want to be thinking about the proportions within your room so that it's not overwhelmed or underdone.
And you've triggered me to a really great example, with which is the other property that we went to see at the Monero tour, which was called Hazeldene. And this is a great example that you're referring to, where it has this sort of central axes, and the axes were...
So a cross where the two avenues crossed.
Yeah, two avenues. And the avenues were basically tree-lined avenues, and the central kind of point of that had a bit of an arbor, and you had, you know, four ways. You go four ways. And either side was sort of lovely garden beds and the like. Now, as you got to that central point in the axis, as you looked to one way, you could see the far view was taking you to this massive oversized boulder, which sat in the larger landscape of the Monero Plains, which is a very kind of grassland area. And that was really enticing. And the scale of that boulder was such that your eye rested on it really well. Now, if you turn around 180 degrees and you look up the other way, which is going more into the garden, there was a really large oversized urn that was at the far end of that axis, and it was surrounded by a sort of a semicircular hedge, and it made you want to go there because you could see that there was a left and a right before you got to that urn. So it was very well scaled for that particular garden.
That's right. And so everything was at the right proportion that it felt like it fit, and there wasn't anything where you kind of just looked past it because it was out of proportion or disproportionate. Very hard to describe, though, if you haven't actually been there to see it. We'll try and put some photos up on our Instagram.
We did get some nice photos of that one as well.
We did, absolutely. So what else would you be thinking about how you're dealing with proportion?
Yeah, and this is, I think my next one is probably thinking about the spaces, the relative scale of sort of positive spaces, which I think of as garden beds, and then the negative spaces, which I think of as open lawn, paving, that sort of thing. And so we're kind of revisiting that language of mass and void, which we looked at in the principle of balance. So I think what's really interesting about all these principles goes back to that original point you made, is there's not one, they're not sort of mutually exclusive. They're all considered together. They create a composition that's really beautiful. And there is a crossover.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so when we think about the relative scale of that, you know, the heavily planted layered garden bed and in open spaces, that is all part of your proportion.
And I think, so if we're thinking very practically about things, so if you're thinking about your voids, which are your lawns or your paved areas, if you want to get things feeling right, say in a large paved area, if you have a large paved area, you probably don't want to go for a really fiddly design in terms of your paving. And very small, unless it's cobbles, perhaps, because, you know, it's an old one. But you either want to go for uniformity, which gives you a sense of lots of space and, I guess, you know, a larger proportion, just like lawn does, rather than picking a very busy or, you know, a mosaic type design, unless it's massive. But so what are some of the other things you need to be thinking about if we're getting very sort of practical about proportion and what matters? When you're thinking about proportion.
Well, we could kind of come right down into the really practical. Yep. And I'm sort of thinking about how we apply some of the design elements like line, shapes, colour.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, for example, with shapes and proportion, have a think about the foliage. You know, we talked a bit about materials, but also foliage forms. So, you know, big, strappy, kind of striking plants like phormiums. That's a sort of proportionally big shrub. And then contrasting that with the smaller, soft leaf, different forms or sort of spilling forms can be very pleasing because you're creating this sense of proportion. Whereas if everything's kind of big and spiky, then I think
it's overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
That's
yeah.
right. And it's the same with colour. If everything's super bright and, you know, the kind of, I mean, straight away I get in my head, if you've got big patterns, big colours, then that's overwhelming because everything's proportionately big. But you also want to be thinking about, you know, if you've got a large space, you need possibly some of that bright colour to make sure that it's proportionately feeling like there's enough in that space and it's not empty.
Yeah.
And then in a small space, you might not want to have too much of that bright colour because it will feel really energetic and, you know, like lots is going on and it's a bit overwhelming. If you want that to be your fitness studio, go for it. But, you know, you might not.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think in small spaces, you tend to play with the proportions in foliage would be more so same colour palette but different foliage effects. In a small space, so you don't have that thing that's yelling at you. It's just a little bit more tranquil.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, in a similar way, we've been talking about, you know, plants that have big leaves or small, the differences in textures, I guess. But again, with the colour of foliage, you need to think about this as well, because obviously something that's lighter and brighter will draw the eye and can then look proportionately larger than or more striking than something that is, you know, darker and, you know, smaller.
Yeah.
As well. So be thinking about how the actual effect on proportion your plants might have too.
Yeah, yeah. And that sort of triggers me onto accessories, which is,
yes,
you know, really a number of designers always say go bold, go big, because usually bold and big sits better in proportion than too small. Too small feels mean.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And fussy and fiddly.
And again, it's about how you want things to look. Because I was just thinking about a garden that I have seen recently, I think it was in a picture, but they had in their outdoor area, they actually used oversized proportion to draw people to the entertaining area in the way that they actually used some lighting. Mm-hmm. And so they had this very striking big lampshades that were completely out of proportion, but they actually meant that people would go to that area rather than heading off in the other direction, for instance, because it drew the eye.
Right, yeah. So it was like a big invitation.
It was. Yeah. It was.
So if you're an introvert, you go to the little nook that no one else can see. But if you're an extrovert,
right.
You're there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm drawn to the lights. That's exactly right. Now, I'm conscious of the time, Fleur. I think we probably are getting close to the end. Is there anything else that you think we should be talking about with proportion?
I think we should probably look at our key takeaways at this point.
Yes.
And say really that, you know, the proportion is important. It's one of our sort of top three principles, but it's not exclusive, and it needs to be nested in with the other principles we've considered. And it's very much about spatial relationships, relative scale. So when you're going out and having a look at your garden, have a think about, does my garden feel light or mean or empty? You know, are there too many competing things in this garden, or why do I feel small in this space? Or why do I feel like a giant in this space? So if you're asking yourself those questions and you're getting an answer that says it's because things are out of scale or things are out of proportion, then there you go, you've nailed it.
I think that's right. And I think I'm also of the I've been convinced, having recorded this now, that this is probably one of the hardest principles to actually describe. And it's one of the ones that is most intuitive. And it really goes to the what's the designer's intent here, because it can be used, you know, you can use not proportion to get an effect as well. So, yeah, and making sure that when you're thinking about your garden, as Fleur said, when you're out there and you're looking at it, how do I want to feel? How does my garden feel relative to my house as well and to the surrounds? I think that's probably the key. If you're feeling like your house and your garden are not working together, proportion might be at play. And ditto if you're feeling like your garden and your house are sort of sitting disconnected from the rest of the environment, if you're in a place where it actually has quite a connection to the rest of the context in which you're living, then that might be proportion too.
Great. Well, look, I think we've done a great job pulling this together.
We would think that, though.
Well, you know, it's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one.
But, you know, we'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to hear some of your comments on proportion. It is a tricky space to deal in. And we'd love to hear a review from you if this has been useful for you.
Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget, you can find the accompanying photos on our Instagram site. And you can also follow us on social media so that that comes up each time we release a new episode. And we'd love to have you listen again next time we are playing. Thanks very much. See you later.
See ya.